You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
On today's episode of The Salicia Show.
I got sent a callback information for a, you know, preliminary dance call, but it went to my junk mail and it wasn't sent to my agent. It was sent to my agent, but they thought I already had the information, so I missed the callback moment.
The A to the L to the Isha. Some call me Sally, others call me Seisha. If you don't like it, I'm gonna have to beat ya. Nah, I'm just kidding, y'all. Y'all, YNLL. I bet you all thought that Salicia couldn't spell, but now you know, and I got to go. Hey, it's time for the Salicia Show.
Good morning, hello, and welcome to the Salicia Show. I'm your host, Salicia Thomas, and y'all, it's another early morning over here in Washington, D.C. For Once Upon a One More Time, we are still currently in previews and having rehearsals in the daytime, previews at night, and they're long days. And so I'm so grateful to my castmates who have been getting up early to come for an interview. And they're like, Salicia, I see you backstage, Eva. And this morning is no exception. The person who I'm interviewing this morning is, I feel like we still like just met, but we became like fast friends. She's somebody who I feel like if we had met when we were four, I believe she would still be in my life today. But let me get to like her credits. She's a dancer, an actress, a creative director, a poet, a poet, a musician, and she's very newly married. She's a USC grad with a double major in theater and creative writing. She was in Tootsie on Broadway. She was also in Mac and Mabel and The Music Man. She is smart, sweet, funny, so humble, and like the epitome of wholesome. We are swing sisters together in Once Upon a One More Time. And she's just an extraordinary human being. And I'm grateful that she's in my life because I'm so sorry. I'm almost 30. And I feel like once you get to a certain age, you have your friends. You know? Necessarily need more friends, or if you do make more friends, it might be awkward, like, how does this go? I like your shirt, are we friends? I don't know. But yes, she is a special human, and I'm so happy and proud to call her my friend. Please help me welcome this first lady and dancer extraordinaire, Diana Vaden.
Oh my gosh. Hi, y'all.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? How is your heart?
My heart is overflowing with gratitude for that introduction. My goodness. Oh my gosh. And yes, like you said, in our 30s, we establish our friends and all of that. But yes, like being a swing sister with you, and actually I've heard you sing through audition doors and just seen your presence in audition rooms before we are now working together. And I'm just like, your energy is amazing. So I'm just thinking, I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to work with her and become friends with her. And you and I are like, you guys, we're different, but it's, I get to learn so much from you. And
I feel the same way about you.
It's exciting.
Like, totally. And I still remember we were in the same audition together.
Yes.
Okay, but I don't know the whole full story of your audition experience.
Whoa.
I just know that from my perspective, I didn't recognize, like, the people who I usually see in auditions, I was like, this is a dance show. And sure enough, I'm like, okay, I'm surrounded by dancers. Okay, so what was your audition like story?
Wow, okay, for Once Upon a One More Time, let's see. What was it? Okay, so I was called in for a reading with the casting office. Just a read through before the dance call happened.
Oh.
But then funny story is I got sent a callback information for a preliminary dance call, but it went to my junk mail and it wasn't sent to my agent. It was sent to my agent, but they thought I already had the information, so I missed the callback moment. And so we were like, oh gosh,
what
do we do? Yeah. It was
the agent said too, what do we do?
I was like, wait a second. So it's already happened. What's going on? It was like, oh, we thought you got that information. I was like, I did not.
And that you just ghosted them? You just didn't?
Yeah.
There have been those auditions in the past.
Yeah. And so we were like, what do we do? She reached out to casting. I was like, what's happening? She missed it. It was our fault. What can we do? And he said that I could come to a different one. He was like, let me check in. She'll come to the next call.
Okay.
So that's the one that I saw you at. So I missed one.
Okay.
But luckily they were like, okay.
Oh.
We'll bring her in. I was like, oh,
literally
Lord.
Stressful. Did you have to go on tape because, or did you?
No.
You never went on tape?
No. They didn't make me go on tape.
I thought it was so odd that, like, my first two auditions were on tape. I'm like, I'm down the street.
Wow.
Yeah, it was before COVID, so it was like.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever. This is a shot in the dark.
Right.
That's how I feel about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where we met.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was my first, like, in person with the creative team, because I had missed the one before that. And
Oh my goodness. Okay, so fast forward, we were in the room together.
Yeah.
And we started the process and we got to know each other
a little bit. Yeah, to go in to sing and yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like a lot happened during the pandemic, for better and for worse.
Yeah.
And so how was that transition for you, and what things took place during that time to bring you where you are today?
Let's see. Like you said in the intro, I'm recently married.
Were you dating him before the pandemic?
Yes, yes. I met him at the beginning of 2020.
Okay.
On a dating app. Just the
I remember this.
Coffee dates. And like when the world shut down, I had planned this little date night with him to go see To Kill a Mockingbird, because I was like wanting to impress him and he wanted to see that show. It's his favorite writer.
Aww.
And all that shut down. So we went to dinner instead and commiserated about life. And I was like, my show is probably never, I don't know what's happening with the show, because we had one more day of rehearsal after that. And so I was at a place with dating him. Mm. It was just like, what is happening in the world? What's going on? I'm about to be unemployed.
Right.
And honestly, I started dating again once I started Tootsie, which was like a year before starting Once Upon a One More Time. And I was thinking, okay, I feel like I'm in a good place. I'm employed. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling good. I get to put my best foot forward. Because as an actor, sometimes it's hard with the unsteadiness of things.
Sometimes.
And you're sometimes meeting people who don't understand the life.
Right.
And so they're like, wait, what do? Is this consistent? How long are you doing this for? Things like that.
And it's annoying too. Some people will be like, oh, that's so cute. You're an actor. How much, do you mind how much you, how much do you make?
Wow. You're like, the earning potential is really great. But right now, I'm unemployed. Thanks.
Yeah. It can go both ways.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Yeah. So at that point, being at the beginning of quarantine, I was like, okay, now I'm entering into a very unsteady part of the process. Not like we haven't been there before being unemployed, but we just didn't know how long it was going to be.
I thought like 2 weeks.
Right.
Max.
As it stretched on, it was like, what's happening? But I felt confident about dating my man.
I see the optimism in your eyes. And you're saying something so scary. You're like,
I know.
What's happening?
Because I like really, but we can't really meet up because the world is like ending, things like that.
Yes.
So we like did FaceTime dates and just kept getting to know each other. And I don't want to say the time was a blessing overall, because absolutely not. We lost so many lives. But for me, it was a good time to slow down and be able to focus on one important thing. I'm always juggling, oh my gosh, my career is very important, and as it still is.
Yes.
But I never really made space for
love.
Love and relationship and like really cultivating
it. Like for real.
Yes.
For real.
That was the only thing I had to focus on.
That is so crazy. And I'm like, because I'm relating to you, that we have some similar paths. And they're like, you can date a person for years, and then this pandemic will be like, okay, it's you.
Yeah.
What? What?
Yeah.
That's how I felt about Andrew. Mm-hmm. He was like, I like spending time with you.
Yes.
Let's hang out again. Our third date, he was like, be my girlfriend.
Wow.
Third date?
Yeah.
I literally had dated somebody for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came in and swooped. I feel like the pandemic, I know what you're saying about, there was so much loss in it, but there was also silver linings. If you lived to survive this freaking pandemic, there was a lot of good that potentially came out of it.
Yeah.
And Nate, he's from, what world is he from?
So he is actually a pastor, so he's in the...
I'm acting like I don't know. I'm like, I know all these answers, not all of them, but I do like the details.
Yes. So he, like, when I met him, he was an associate pastor at a church in Harlem.
Oh my,
so cool.
And wait, what?
Yeah.
Down with the swirl, by the way.
Oh yes. This man, I don't really love using, like, the phrase woke, but he is. And woke before a lot of people are, we're woke.
Okay. We're
hip
to
woke. And so he wanted to definitely, he's a white man, but he was really passionate to learn about Black culture. And
literally a
other
pastor
of color. Yeah, and be under leadership of a man of color. That's what he wanted. And so God placed him at this church. And it was like, so he was part of that startup team for that church. But then he felt called.
This is very attractive.
Yeah. And this was part of our first conversations that we had. So like hearing his background and understand and seeing this on his dating profile, he's very transparent. And like, so it was just all things were matching up. But then he told me he had plans to start his own church.
And you were
in
like,
the Bronx. Yeah.
What will my first outfit as first lady be? Let me get my pearls, honey.
And my ripped jeans.
Okay. You're such a cool first lady. So how did that make you feel when you was
When he first told me that was a question I had. I was like, is he going to just stay at this church that he's at? Or does he have plans to start his own church? What does that mean for me if I continue dating him? If then potentially we get married? What does that mean for me? So like I actually called my first lady from back home in Reno, Nevada, and talked to her, and I was like, okay, give me the 411. What do I need to know? What kind of things is he going to be subconsciously like thinking as he's dating me, like trying to find out if I'm right for him?
Oh my,
things
this
like
is
that.
So smart.
Yeah.
You're like, let me call up my first ladies.
I was like, what do I need to expect here? And so that was really good. So just like going in with eyes wide open, and just the more that I found out about him and his passions and his goals and but knowing in the back of my mind, I was like, you're stepping into something big, like a whole new church family and structure and all of that. And being at the beginning stages of starting a church is such a different experience as well.
Right.
Starting a new musical. From like
question,
the ground up.
How do you balance being like, because I grew up, like both of my past grandfathers were pastors, like my family's very like, and then sometimes the theater world can be seen as very secular.
Yeah.
How do you balance that and that?
Wow. Okay, that's been an interesting journey for most of my life. There's been a lot of, sometimes feeling from church folk like what I do is not valid or sacred, or I don't know if you've experienced this, but sometimes in our Christian circles, whatever artwork we do, or it needs to serve the church or serve the Lord in some way, and it's hard for people to see that us being in that industry is being a light in the world.
It's like Jesus hanging out with them.
The church folk in that day were like, why is he hanging out with them? So, right. So feeling a little bit of that, of trying to not find justification from the outside, but just really wrestling with myself as, do I feel called to be an artist? And I do, I do. I don't think there's anything else I should be doing. So yeah, that's been an ongoing journey. So being able to meet Nate at a time where I feel mature enough to say, no matter what anybody else thinks, I'm gonna still pursue being here in New York, or not here in New York, we're in DC.
I mean,
right,
we're in
now,
DC right
but
now.
But like, having home base in New York is like, all right, I'm going to be around a lot of beautiful, diverse people and be a light in that, and hold on to my faith and but share a calling. And art is such a cool expression of the spiritual. So
right? God was an artist.
Absolutely.
He created the earth. He was like, what am I gonna do today?
Yeah.
Let's make a earth. Let's make a world.
Yeah.
It's missing something. Let's put some light out there. Like, he's the ultimate creator. He's the OG. He's the notorious.
I love it.
So I'm like, I think it's really special being an artist. Like, okay, question for you.
Yeah.
How do you feel about life being already charted out for you? Like, it's already done. It's already written. This is your fate. This is your destiny. This was always going to happen versus free will and charting your own course.
Wow.
What's your thoughts on that?
I don't think it's one or the other. I think it's this really mysterious merging of the two. Because we're talking about the OG creator, God, it's like, he was able, and we don't, it's beyond our comprehension of how he can have us be able to make choices, but still it weave into something he's crafted altogether. Because I just think about, I don't know if you've ever read the book.
Jack. I love that book.
I actually haven't read it yet.
Oh, it's good, Diana.
Oh my gosh.
It made me see God in a whole new light. Oh. And I already loved God before, but it's different.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, go on.
Oh, the book Artist Way. Have you read
Oh,
that?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so she talks about synchronicity in that. And just like those moments where not just your life, it feels like you may have even deja vu moments. Those make me feel like, oh, I'm where I'm supposed to be kind of thing. But when there's lineup with other people's lives, that's the part that is, oh, we're in places together, but this feels like the right place on my journey, like just meeting Nate at the right time. Like, he had told me things in his backstory of like how he had to go through some work before he was really ready to meet me. And then I like, and some of those things, some of those timeline things, I was also at the same time he was working through some therapy things, I was going through something that made me just not ready to meet him. So it was like we both needed like 4 years, it's an arbitrary number of time to be ready to meet each other.
Yeah.
But I totally do feel like we chose each other, but at the same time.
But like, I feel like I go back and forth, which is why I'm asking you. I'm sure you've had people prophesy over you. And have you been in that place where people have prophesied over you and then it's come to pass?
Yeah.
Me too. And so in my mind, it feels like it was, and I've also been in that position not very often, when I know something is going to happen, or I know something just happened, even though I haven't been told yet. Yeah. I can feel it. And whether it's in the past or the future, it almost feels like there's a grid and a timeline of things, and in one of the parts of the timeline, it's already done. It feels, this literally has already happened in some world dimension thing, and somebody tapped into it, or it was, I don't know. And it makes me feel like if everything's already done, what am I worrying about?
Right. See, that's the beautiful thing. If like we lean into that of, oh, it's charted and it's good. I think that's the other thing. Like, I mean, when
we
think about fate and destiny and we like have that negative spin on it, it's like, oh, I'm doomed. Oh my gosh. Right. What anxiety that would produce. But if it's, right. Oh no, it's charted and we're weaving down this path that's for our good, how much that just
gives you calm.
Takes the pressure off, takes the burden off our shoulders, and allows us the freedom to just be confident in moving forward.
Right.
So that's really lovely.
And then the opposite, like, I always think about Judas. I'm like, somebody had to be Judas. Was he always going to be Judas? Was that always part of his path? What if it's something bad? What do you do? Is then can you take life in your own hands and change it? Or was that already part of your... already part of the plan? Like, was that already on the grid that you were going?
That's good to ponder. Jeez. Oh. But I guess I think about Judas and on his path. He probably didn't think he was going to maybe spiral to that point. But then it's hard because it's...
Somebody had to be the guy.
Oh.
Somebody had to be the guy. I don't know.
I don't want to volunteer as the guy.
I don't either. I don't either.
Yeah. Wow. That's deep. That's deep. I guess we'll never know. Until.
I'm sorry. I have so many questions for you.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you feel about being a Black woman in theater right now?
Oh. I think we're at the beginning of something good, but it's a beginning. We're like just off the starting line walking. It's like a.
Walking. Okay.
It's not a speed walking race. It's just, we're all just walking.
You know, we're in spaces.
We used to be at a standstill. So I feel like even in our show, I feel more represented. I feel like I'm not just a token in our show.
Yeah, there's a lot of diversity in our cast.
That's beautiful. I'm nervous that like we're at this space of awareness that won't turn into action, won't turn into a lot changing. Mm-hmm. And I think the big thing, because we're on the stage right now, I'm waiting to see more Black women behind the table.
Yeah.
And that's something I know I've mentioned to you. I don't know what God has in store. I don't know what's really on my path, but I'm hoping it will be, is that I personally can be on the other side of the table somehow, some way. And I don't know if that's as a writer or a director or what that might
or
look
all
like. That'd be awesome. But just because I'm taking in so much information as swings, we are very observant. We're seeing so much. And sometimes we have to be because the nature of our job is
and
like...
If they're making changes and they're not on the God mic, I'm like, what y'all saying over there? Okay, so we're not doing that costume change no more? Okay, we don't bring that prop on anymore? Okay. That's what's okay. I'm watching.
Yeah. But then we also get to watch and observe power dynamics and ways things are done that we're just like that. And we have a lot of time to sit and observe and think and ponder and be like,
wow,
I feel like there's a better way to do that. Now, I say all that and say, I'll probably, if I do get behind the table, I'll probably make mistakes.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, being open to feedback and being open to even more of a collaborative experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as a Black woman, I just feel like we tell stories differently. I just think of different playwrights that I know that just, not everything's linear, not everything is like considered American theater and structured that way. And it's just, I would love to see us be able to own more, take more leadership roles.
Be on the other side of the table more.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I do love that it's a part of the conversation now. Like you said, we're not at a standstill.
Mm-hmm.
We are making progress, but we're walking. We're not like galloping.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's in people's brains, okay, let's be aware of this. We are aware that what's not happening, what's not behind the table, like who is on the stage, like who isn't like in the wings. I think awareness is a good first step. Can you tell me about your natural hair journey?
Ooh, okay. I consider deciding to go natural as like my second best decision. Now it's my third best decision because one, becoming a Christian, two.
I knew this. You didn't even tell me that. I was like, I bet it's Jesus hair. Okay, go on.
Because I've had a struggle with my hair journey. I used to get it pressed a lot when I was really young and just like a lot of breakage, all of those things, and then a lot of braids and all of those things, but it was all wrapped up in this. There's a certain look that is expected of Black women from white culture. I probably didn't have those words growing up.
No, we didn't know that. We just saw this is what's on TV. This is what's in the magazines.
This is what I need to do.
This is how I...
And it was rough. And I remember just leaving. And then I went into the weave journey. And I think that was in high school into college.
Oh, work. And I didn't get into that until later.
Really?
Yeah.
I was, because I was searching for, and the funny part was, the weave that I was going for is what my hair achieves on its own. This is funny. This is not what I knew because I hadn't gone natural yet. But I was like, okay, I want it to be really curly and short and cute and bobby, blah, blah, blah. And I would leave getting my weave done and I'd cry because it wasn't right. The colors weren't right. It was always trying to do too many highlights that just didn't look natural. And then every time I would get compliments on my hair, I just felt this sinking feeling. And I would not allow myself to lie and just be like, thanks, it's mine, thanks. I would have been like, yeah, it's a weave. just out myself so quick. And I was like, it's not mine. You know, and just feels like a sinking feeling of, they just like my hair. It is not even mine. And so that was a struggle. But anytime I would like be in between weaves and just do something with my hair, even if I still straightened it, everybody would compliment my eyes and I would feel this like uplift in my spirit and be like, they're seeing me, my eyes, those are mine. Those are definitely mine, God-given, everything. So it's just, what is the imbalance here? And so finally I was like, okay, what is stopping me from going natural and just be wearing it that way? And it was because I didn't know how to take care of it. I was like, I'm being lazy. The weave seemed easier, but I was like, not emotionally, obviously, that wasn't easier. So I finally just looked at YouTube videos and I was like, okay, we're gonna learn how to take care of my hair before I make this leap. And so I did. And yeah, it was the best. It was the best. I didn't get the feedback from different people in my life that I was like hoping for. There was somebody I was dating at the time who didn't, I was hoping he'd be like, oh my gosh, it's beautiful, you're amazing. It was just like, oh, okay, that's nice. And I was like, okay. But for me, something shifted. And so I was like,
and that is,
I'm gonna hold on to that.
That is, it, I don't, what age were you at when you felt that shift?
That shift, it was.
That's like an internal like guidance system telling you you're on the right path even when you're not getting external validation.
Yeah. That was a senior year of college.
Whoa.
I made that leap. Yeah.
It takes a lot. It's so much easier when people around you are doing it, when like you're in a community of people who are transitioning, because it can be hard to transition. You're like, what are these straight pieces? Or if you cut it all off, you're like, it's so short. I'm not used. You have to retrain your eyes if you're used to seeing yourself in the mirror a certain way, and then now you look different.
It's yes.
Well, what do I think about this? It's not easy. And no one told me before transitioning that transitioning wasn't easy. So I just assumed it should be easy. And I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah.
But your hair is so beautiful. And one of the first things I like noticed about you when we met at like the audition was how you would wear your updos. You did like this. How do you do that?
Oh, yeah. So what I do is usually I go from a stretched place. So I always like,
okay, so you stretch it.
Yeah. And then I just take different pieces and roll and twist. Uh-huh. So if I want the coif look in the front, I'll roll that part, leave it a little puffy, and then bring it to a spiral and then just pin, bobby pin it in. Yeah. I just play because I'm like, maybe I want it to cross in the back or look like a heart and bring it around.
And it will stay because it's like natural volume.
It's a, yes.
Oh.
That's what I love about our hair. It can do so many things.
I've always wanted to do that style that you've like done. And I see some of the girls on the Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know what that is. I don't even know what to type in to look it up on YouTube. Ah, and what's your wig prep?
My wig prep is, I just do 2-strand twists, like about 8 on both sides.
Oh my goodness, wait, because we haven't like gotten, and so I like that too.
Yeah, and then just crisscross them around so that it can get a nice round, yeah, a round shape. around my head. Yeah.
Oh, I've never done that. I still do the twist and then
you
not a bantu knot. Yeah, like a
yeah.
Which is like a twist out thing.
Yes. It probably comes out really nicely though. It's hit or miss. As all things are.
I still am looking at the white girls when we done with the show. Mm-mm. With those perfect curls. I'm like, yeah, my head don't do that.
That won't be my life.
That don't happen with
but
my
But I look
head.
Good in a beanie. I feel good in a beanie. And I'll embrace a beanie.
And
with no
we love
curls
a head
coming
wrap.
Down. Oh my God. I won't lie. There's some days that I'm like, man, I wish I could just let it all just fall down. But now,
girl.
Like, when I have time, I did braids recently during the summer because I hadn't since I went natural because I was like, I'm just embracing this. I'm going for it. I also don't have the money. Let's be honest. But I was like, and nor the time because
it could be like 8 hours.
Because if you spend that much money, you want to wear it for a while it stays fresh. But luckily, if you're working steadily, that's you can't. You don't have time to do an in-between braid look. But I did that recently and got them really long and just
come
and
through.
I like fulfilled that dream of like,
yes.
Nate was like, why do you keep touching your hair? Like, it's never down my back.
I can totally see Nate seeing
like, you keep
me.
Touching your hair. I was like, I know, I know.
Nate is so awesome. Just like meeting him, he's just like, we are very much newlyweds.
Yes.
Basically, AKA, I love her
yeah.
a lot. I'm like,
yeah,
so
very much in love.
Sweet.
And it's so funny. We're celebrating 12 weeks on Saturday.
Being married.
And it's just, I'm so surprised that I'm even more in love with him. And I'm just like, we get years and years of this. I'm like, oh my gosh. Because the part of it is that we're experiencing new things together. Like being in DC right now is a new experience for us. And obviously the new church is a new experience that we're just navigating together and being really real and honest with each other about our feelings. And I'm just learning more and more how much he is my best friend and how I can be so open. So that just increases love. And because you have trust and vulnerability and all of those things. So yeah,
I'm like,
and I'm crazy about him, so it's great.
God is so good.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, he really is.
He really is. It's like when you've waited for something, whether it's a relationship or a job or
yeah.
whatever, like when you've waited so long and if you ever wonder, is this ever going to happen? Is this ever going to work out? And then to keep going, to not give up and waited out long enough
mm-hmm.
to see it come to pass
yeah.
before giving up.
Right.
To see it come to pass and you're like, dang, that happened.
Yeah. And it's so full and beautiful when God, you know, gives us those gifts that we've been waiting for and longing for. And it's unexpected, the like amount of abundance of blessing in it. Because you think it's going to be one thing and he's, oh, but there's so much more. There's more
in
that. That you get to learn and become and grow into as well.
I haven't even scratched the surface. I love that. I literally, Diana, could talk to you for hours and we will tonight. But thank you so much for coming on. This is going to air on both of my shows. And at the beginning, I was like, it's like a show. Black are the big leagues. How can people find you, follow you?
I'm on Instagram at Diana Bates. Look up. That's basically it.
And you also have a website.
I do.
I love it.
Yeah?
Yes.
Thanks.
Yeah, which is www.dianabeta.com.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. Thank you for joining me today.
Aw, thank you for having me. This is amazing. You're incredible.
You are incredible. Like, you already know how I feel about you.
Aww.
All right, until next time.
That wraps another episode. Thanks for listening to The Salacia Show. See you next week, and don't be shy. If you love the show, please tell me why. Please rate, subscribe, and leave a review. Go one step further, tell a friend or two. Check out my site if you think it was the bomb. Pay a visit to SalaciaThomas.com. One last thing before I relax. Shout out Josh Carey, and thanks, Podmax.
I'm out.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.